Welcome to this edition of Photo Mission Focus, discussing photography. Hi, I'm Steve Finkel. On this episode today, this is a episode that I recorded with Terry some months back, and it's been kind of sitting in the can. It just hasn't come out and seen the light of day. So I thought it was probably time to dust it off, publish it, and get it up so you can have a bit of a listen. So Terry and I, in this particular episode, Terry had come in to record something else, and we just decided to record another episode like we used to do back in the old days. Like I said, it just hadn't actually got to the point of being published. So what we do is we're tackling one of the subjects that we talked about in one of the very early first episodes of Focus. So sit back and enjoy and have a listen to this conversation I'm having with Terry.
Welcome to Photo Mission Focus, discussing photography. Hi, Terry. Terry's kindly stepped back in the studio to record another episode, which is fantastic. We thought we might talk about where it all started, the very first episode of Focus we did together, which was about social media and photography. So,
and geez, it's come a long way again, hasn't it?
Well, it's kind of interesting because for some photographers now, they put less importance on it because they realize that it hasn't delivered. When we spoke about it probably 4 years ago, I think we were considering that it's a really important part. You need to be across it. You need to be on all these platforms to get your name out there. But now I think what's happened is people have looked at there's been so much change in the world with AI.
Yeah.
There's so much changes with gear and all the platforms have all gone through their different revamping and changing their algorithms.
That's right.
To the point now you post something on Instagram now and you hardly get any kind of interaction with people.
That's right. That's right. It's a very common frustration that a lot of creatives are experiencing.
Yep.
Yeah, especially with Instagram, because TikTok's been around for a little while now, so that's almost.
And I think for the people who were like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Because TikTok really wasn't a thing 4 years ago.
Yeah.
For the photographers, that were around listening to us then, and they were on the things like Instagram, and they're on Facebook and different things like that.
I feel like maybe there was only Facebook, Instagram, and
and there was a couple of other odd smaller things that
never really took off.
Never took off, but people did have a presence on, Flickr and
that's right,
Pinterest,
that's right,
and all that type of stuff. But they really didn't get the traction. But I think for people who are listening today, photographers, it's a very different marketplace. That social media can be some advantage to you, but really you can't pin all your hopes on it because you've got no control over it at the end of the day. When they decide to change the algorithm and all of a sudden people don't see you. And I mean, the thing that I like about, I suppose, Instagram personally now is stories. And I do a lot of stories, especially when I'm traveling. I do a lot of stories.
Mm, you do, don't you? Yeah.
And I think you did a lot of stories and stuff when you were traveling as well.
I did, yeah. I've become not as active at the moment because I've been focusing a little bit more about behind the scenes strategy. And this is actually quite timely to be chatting about this because I am curious about where my strategy will lead me. What will be the social media platform that I put a lot of my energy into? Will it be one or will it be all of them?
Yeah.
And will they have different purposes?
And you've had Threads come out since then as well, so you've got that other platform as well.
What's that one?
Well, it's Threads is newer platform. Like if you're on Instagram,
yeah,
you can have that. So I think it was trying to go back to the roots of Instagram. But I'm on there, and I just find that it's a lot of work. I posted a couple of times and go, this is too hard. I got better things to do.
Oh,
time.
Absolutely, I completely agree with you. So, I feel also sometimes with Instagram that it's taking with the algorithms evolving. That's the best way you can put it. They're not just changing; they're evolving. Yep. And with the introduction of AI, they're becoming very intuitive and. To stay current with that intuition, I've completely lost my train of thought of where I was going with that. I'll figure it out. But to stay in line with that intuition, I think you need to be really focusing on keywording and using methodology like SEO. So you're optimizing all of your wording because it is looking at lots of factors, not just the image. It's looking at how you've treated that image in regards to have you put alt text on there? Are you making it diverse, friendly for people with disabilities to be able to understand, whether it be whether they're blind or likewise. Yes, you know? Yep. So it's, I think there's lots of factors that need to be thought about for each platform to make it go further.
Yes.
And you've just mentioned stories. So there's lots of different, almost like tiers within the applications now as well. So with,
I feel they all work differently. I feel like stories is a different, like you have a different market of people look at stories.
That's right.
So I get quite a lot of traction with stories and I get quite a lot of eyeballs on stories where I don't get many eyeballs on posts.
Yeah, and I used to get more on posts and then a lot on stories, and now I get not as much on either. And reels can go quite well if you're doing them strategically.
Yes.
This is just what I'm thinking. But even that doesn't have as much reach as it used to. No, it's a very saturated platform.
It is, and I think if you're as a photographer, if you're thinking about using one of these platforms now to market your business to get work, paid work.
Mm.
The challenge is that a lot of people who are on these platforms, it's all kind of very cutthroat.
Yeah.
Is that you're kind of competing in this pool where it's kind of a race to the bottom.
It kind of is a race to the bottom. And if it was that way, I'd be winning, I tell you. I'm sitting on the bottom right now. Yeah, it absolutely is. And I do often wonder, what are people doing to make their posts so visual, like so visually appealing to other people? Yes, of course, you know that you can make a beautiful image, but then how do you get it so that you've got more eyes on it? There's a whole strategy behind that, and it's not just that image. It's like how active you are, what time of day you're on, who you're interacting with. Like it's really a game of gambling.
It kind of is, and I think the people who are winning as photographers are actually out there making real world connections with people.
That's right.
Yeah, actually reaching out to people they might potentially could work
That's
with.
That's absolutely right. And I think that comes down to that whole idea of networking and networking in real life. People are craving that human to human connection now, and then strengthening that relationship on your social media. Of course, it's not possible if you live in different countries.
Yeah.
But I absolutely agree with you. It's about that real tangible experience that people are chasing. I think COVID played a massive part in that.
Yeah. I think so. I had Maddie from Embark Studios on a few weeks ago on the podcast. Maddie's background is marketing, and she went from marketing into photography, and she's become a full-time photographer. And I think some of the stuff we touched on then was about how, you know, she's built her business and it's kind of making those connections with companies that you want to work with and people. And
that's right.
And that kind of
that
kind of gets that word of mouth kind of reaction where you're not kind of now competing with everybody on socials. And I think I think everything at the moment with the internet, there's so much of it. It's just like a big experiment.
It is. And it's very challenging not to get overwhelmed or fatigued by all of that stimulation that you're getting.
Yeah.
I find it incredibly challenging.
Well, sometimes I just have to turn off because it just gets too hard.
And with Black Friday just been and gone, I'm incredibly fatigued, and so is my wallet. But it's, you know, you're getting fed all of that information from your platforms. It's, you can just get lost, and it's constant reeling over and over and over.
And again, as you would have noticed this as well, I mean, the way the algorithms target you now that you've shown, because you liked a cute puppy.
My life every day.
All of a sudden, you're starting to get all this content with cute puppies in it.
Or your friend next to you says something about a cute puppy
and
you've got your microphone still connected to third-party marketing, and then all of a sudden
you get all the pet food ads and
everything starts coming. I've got to say, I did get a bit concerned the other day when all of these jewellery things started coming up on my feed, and I know that I hadn't been looking for them.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that a hint?
maybe your partner had been.
Yeah. I was like, babe, what's going on here? you know, so, yeah.
So I think it's kind of interesting, like I said, and yeah, when we did speak originally and we started doing the podcast originally, the first one all those years ago, everyone was actually really, I think, everyone was striving to get their piece of the action within social media. Like everyone was trying to kind of find their niche.
That's right.
And as people found their niche, then all of a sudden the rug gets pulled out.
That's right. I think now it's almost like we've both been in the game for quite a while now. So it's for us, it's about reevaluating the tools that we've got in our kit. And by all means, social media is a very valid tool to still be using. And it's, for me, it's about identifying how I'm going to use it to best serve, I guess, my potential clients and past clients as well. I think it's really important to still maintain that relationship with past clients and also your colleagues, which are going to be, like in my case and point, it's going to be the wedding vendors or it's going to be businesses that I've interacted with. You know, so I think it's really key to identify that. So it's not necessarily just about that beautiful image anymore, is it? It's about being strategic, but not in a nasty. I don't even know how to word this.
Calculated,
but like self-serving. But yes, self-serving. You know, it's about creating a community.
Yes, and I think that's the thing that we've talked about this in previous podcasts about. Not kind of getting too hung up on the metrics around your social media interactions because it's not a measurement of how good you are as a photographer, but quite often it's what's trending at the time is what's gonna do well, and sometimes like the type of content that you create mightn't be but you might be creating solid stuff so I think people still get beat themselves up over it.
Yeah.
I think you've really got to step back. And I think as you've kind of been in the game more and more, that you actually start to realize that not to take this stuff too seriously.
That's exactly right. And also identifying the amount of time that other people are spending on the platform to get to where they are. If you don't want to spend that type of time on the platform, don't do it. And then it's just kind of not the game for you. I do see a lot of people that are very invested in their social media, and it does make me wonder. Like I may not know them personally, but I know that they've got incredible presence on their socials, and I do wonder how they've got that balance and what that balance looks like to them, because
it's probably not balanced.
It's probably
a big imbalance, because sometimes people believe hard work that if they just throw themselves into something and they just give it 150%, it'll succeed. And unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way, because it's almost like with social media, the way I see it is it's not a level playing field.
No. I wholeheartedly agree with you. It's absolutely not.
It's so skewed from what your experience and your opportunities might present to my opportunities are. Can be so skewed and different.
Absolutely, absolutely. And your definition of hard work could be completely different to what their definition is. And some people that can just achieve such huge amounts, what are they losing out on?
And I think as you get older, and I'm sure you've thought about this many times, it's
about. What are you saying, Steve? I'm 25.
I know, but you don't look a day over 18, Terry.
Amazing.
But I think like balance becomes more of a thing that you really want to get that in check. That you've got time for you and the people that you care about.
Absolutely.
You know, rather than kind of, because I think that's what sometimes people get so kind of cocooned or wrapped up in making it big on socials that they neglect all the real stuff in the world.
That's exactly right.
And that's a real thing you've got to be careful of.
Yeah, it does make you wonder, doesn't it? Because I designed my career around being able to live part-time in my work life, and I've sadly come to the conclusion that that is not possible, especially after returning from traveling.
Yep.
I've fallen back into a very, very old pattern of working anywhere from 4 to 7 days a week. And the 7 days a week could happen for 3 weeks straight before I get a day off, and not feeling like I'm getting anywhere. So and I've not even been active on social media because I just don't know how to fit it in.
Yep.
Without
sacrificing something else in your life.
That's absolutely right. And also burning out. I just don't have capacity for it. So, yeah, it does start to make you think, okay, so what type of an effect is that going to have on my mental health if I start also incorporating that comparison and that imposter syndrome that comes with social media? Because I feel like that may have been something we spoke about in the first
podcast. We have. We've spoken about
as well.
We have actually spoken about the imposter syndrome, and I think it's still so real, and it's kind of one of those things that it's something that everyone has to deal with at some stage and work through, and everyone will have to deal with it.
Yeah.
At some point. But
yeah.
I think social media, like I said, cannot be helpful in that instance.
Not to cut you off, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, but to flip the coin the other way, it's about identifying what your goals are with social media. So it's really being mindful of those goals. So if you want to increase your followers, that may be one of your goals. If you want to educate your followers or people that are watching your feed, that might be something else. And I think that's where the strategy part comes into it. It's like being really clear on your intention with that social media platform, depending on what it is. And I think that can be really, it can be great for you if you use that with those key points in mind, like your pillars, they used to call them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that the strategy I've kind of taken is, done a fair bit of traveling.
Yeah.
But I haven't really posted much of the content that I created.
Yeah.
And it's not because I haven't got the content. I've got lots of content.
Yeah.
But sometimes I feel like I don't need to share it all.
That's right. That's like absolutely it's, right.
I've got those images, and at some point I may choose to share some of those images. But at the moment I don't feel like, I've shared a lot from my stories, and I feel that's where people who follow me, they can see what I've been up to, where I've been, what I've been shooting through the stories. So I find the stories, because of people do get more engaged. And the other thing with stories is stories tend to be video. And I think that's where video is more appealing. And video is something that I've started dabbling and doing a bit more in, but I really want to do more in video.
Because, yeah, that's really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it just gives you, as a creative, it gives you some extra opportunities to be able to do some storytelling.
That's right.
And in a different way. And I think that's where sometimes, that's what the word stories is probably like from a, what they are is fantastic, because it's probably the really true representation of what those little clips are. They are a little short story about what you're up to.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Although I know from when we were traveling, I was really reluctant to post my stories at that particular time, just in case people were following with ill intent.
Yes, yeah. I think, look, you've got to be mindful of social media is not oversharing.
That's right, yeah.
And I think, like you said, doing a post that are delayed a little bit, like no one's going to criticise if the fact that it's not in real time.
I have a few friends that actually intentionally wait anywhere between 1 and 5 days before posting because of that reason. They don't want people to know where they are at that particular time for privacy reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Because, look, unfortunately, we hear these stories about that there is some people out there sometimes that for whatever reason they – kind of, I don't know, get a session of something and then they take it to this level which is kind of unhealthy.
Yeah.
And I think that, that freaks a lot of people out. I think we also got to be mindful, I think, of particularly younger people using the platform who probably aren't as wise in the ways of the world.
Mm.
You know, you and I have seen a lot in our lifetimes of the good of people, but we've also probably seen a fair share of
absolutely
of the bad things people do.
Absolutely.
And you just know that sometimes people's intentions are very different. And some younger, I know with my boys, and you've met both the twins now, but, sometimes we'd be telling about something and saying, oh, just be mindful of, that.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking everyone's really good and wants to share this stuff. Well, not everyone's doing it for the right reasons.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So you have to be kind of mindful of that. And I think that's one of the things, and I suppose that's why a lot of parents too, like growing up now, who parents are like where their kids are getting to the age where they're getting on social media, have some real fears.
Mm.
Because I think those fears are actually well founded, because quite often we do hear these stories of stuff that happens. So I think it's also as much as you don't want to kind of put people off doing stuff, but I mean, also it's always got to be done with kind of thinking about your own safety.
That's exactly right. It's almost like thinking of what your desired outcome is.
Yeah. And look, I've seen some, you know, we got friends that, you know, and people we know who share stuff and they really, really overshare of stuff that's happening in their lives to the point where potentially under some situations it could put them in a very vulnerable place.
Yeah.
Without them realizing. And sometimes when you'll catch up, you'll just point out saying, I probably wouldn't have said, you know, that you, the house, someone, the cat's going to be at home all weekend by itself because you're going away and probably not great to share that.
No, that's not a great idea. That's usually when my friends call me and they're like, can you feed our cats for us?
because, like I said, people will use information gathered from socials as intel to do other stuff. So
they again, will, yeah.
So again,
yeah.
Not trying to put a dark, not trying to make it go all dark and gloomy on socials, but I think, yeah, I think you just have to be really, really mindful. And I think,
yeah, I know that I was incredibly mindful of posting if I was in a cafe or something, and not just because I didn't want people to know where I was or what time of day and creating that whole routine.
Or the fact that you're going to have your third or fourth life.
Oh, my gosh. I am addicted. I'm not even going to lie. That's one thing that I did miss while I was traveling, a good coffee.
There you go.
But I think also I didn't want to leave myself open for people saying to me, where are my wedding photos? What are you doing in a cafe having breakfast? They don't know that that's my day off,
yes.
You know. Yeah. So it's being very intentional about what you're sharing and why. And I adore seeing your travel pics. I'm just like, I'm living vicariously through Steve now. I'm like, okay, I should have pulled my camera out when I was over there kind of thing. But when it comes to a strategy and a marketing perspective, it's really about figuring out what platform works for you and why.
Yep.
And that could change.
And I think it's changing. And you touched on it very briefly, but we might just expand on it. And some of the growing trends about, like, say, people getting paying people to actually capture behind the scenes stuff for them.
That's right.
On their wedding day, for
instance.
That's right. So just expand on that.
So there is a few companies out there at the moment, and I've been fortunate enough to work alongside two of them, two different ones in Southeast Queensland recently, where they are paid to do behind the scenes. So pretty much like a story run for the couple of their wedding day, a play-by-play of what's going on. All of that video footage would then be delivered to the couple, to the client for that whole day. So imagine you're getting married and you've got your wedding photographer, you've got your videographer, and now you've also got a behind-the-scenes social media person.
Yep.
So you've really got a lot changing in the industry at the moment. And when it comes to social media, that's another layer that's being added on top.
And this is something that's really never been offered for something like a wedding, because when you think about a wedding is that on the day, the bride and groom are very focused on what they're doing.
That's right. Right.
So there's a lot of stuff that just goes by the keeper because their head's in a different spot.
Mm-hmm.
They're really concentrating on this. Quite often they're working with a photographer, getting those shots, so they're not seeing the other interactions that are happening.
That's right.
And, you know, whenever I've been to a friend's wedding and I have this rule that I won't shoot a wedding for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I did – early in my career I did shoot a couple of weddings and it just – to me I didn't like the pressure.
Yeah.
I thought I was probably putting too much pressure on myself. I felt like such an important event, there's key stuff that you just have to get right. You just don't get a second take on it.
No, you don't.
But I really enjoyed going to weddings and just having a camera and then be able to take the stuff that's happening around with the relatives. And really what I was doing was I was capturing the behind-the-scenes stuff. So then the bride and groom could look back over the day and see this other stuff that happened. And I think that's, you know, I can understand why people would want that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it's quite an interesting service that's starting to come out.
So for someone who's, say, wanting to even get in and work in that wedding photography space, potentially that could be their entry.
And it could also be our,
and it gives you an idea.
Our exit as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, well, it could be not an exit, but sidestep.
It could be,
Think about it as a sidestep where you've been a wedding photographer for a long time and you kind of the gloss is a bit up, you know, if the gloss is worn off that a bit and it's not so kind of.
You want a less pressure kind of.
You want less pressure, but you understand the gig. You know how the gig works.
That's right. So that's a big,
it's like, I always say to people who, if they're going to shoot sports, really, if you're going to shoot a sport, understand the game.
That's right. The play by play. Yeah.
You need to understand how it plays.
Yeah, that is really, it's correct. It's almost like anticipating the next move.
It is.
And I playfully said to you, maybe I should be doing it and make more money. I tell you what.
And less pressure.
That's absolutely right.
So I think there's new opportunities being created, particularly in the area like, you know, of video. So like, photography is still going to be cornerstone part of wedding day, but I see video as being more and more of a keepsake part of the day.
Yeah.
That people will want to have that those memories as well.
Yeah, and I think each couple is so – or each person, I guess, has a very different idea of what it's going to be like to look back at an event or a day or their wedding day. And they want to remember it in different ways, I think.
And I think for families, like weddings are those times when quite often a lot of the relatives are together in the one spot, which is not normal, especially if you live interstate and they're scattered across the country.
What are we saying now? We say the two times of someone's life where they're going to see most of their family is at their wedding or at a funeral.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's really sad to say that, it's true.
So I suppose the opportunity of having some behind-the-scenes stuff, and some of those relatives are going to be, you know, they're going to be older relatives, so they may not be around for a long time. So just being able to get the video of Auntie Nellie trying to dance on the dance floor and looking hilarious.
I've seen some incredible nanas shaking it like I don't even know how to shake it. It's just awesome.
And having that documented.
Yeah.
So that down the track they can go back and relive that. Because even though you can sit back and look at a photo, but sometimes you forget the mannerisms and the quirkiness.
It's so, so true. It's so incredibly true. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to see some highlight reels from videographers I've worked alongside at weddings that we've worked together on. And I'd never really thought about getting any video if I was ever to get married. And I still don't think it would be something, but it is so nice that those couples have that.
Have that memories, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's almost like their own little mini movie trailer, to be honest. It's pretty epic.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's, you know, we touched on it earlier just saying that video, I think, is becoming such an important part of the landscape of photography. Like it fits in there as well, so that, and I know, look, a lot of photographers have had to kind of upskill in that area and do video as well.
Yeah, and I've been putting it off for such a long time, and I've now reached the point where I'm starting to get more curious about it, and so I know that it's time to pick up a new skill.
Well, but when you think about it, what has camera manufacturers done with mirrorless cameras? They've put incredible video capabilities in mirrorless cameras.
It's so true.
So you've got a mirrorless camera. You've got a very good video camera.
That's exactly right. And my camera is actually apparently quite good for video.
Yes, yeah. So
didn't know.
There you go. Whole new world.
Waiting. I know. Look out.
So on this episode, I've had Terry back in the studio, which is really great to see her smiling face.
Thanks. That's very sweet of you to say.
and kind of just, I suppose, you know, reliving episode one, like I said. Yeah, it was kind of like good to kind of, I suppose, to just revisit and how things have changed dramatically. And think about on episode 500, like what is it going to be like?
I had to think then, but my brain kind of exploded a little bit.
just coming back from Singapore, and the Singapore.
Oh, I'm dying to go to Singapore.
Well, they're crazy on robots. So they use,
exactly.
So like when, you know, we're in the hotel and the, you know, restaurant-y part, and you order something and the little robot brings down your meal.
Oh, stop it. I love that.
But we're in the shopping malls, and the shopping malls have robot security guards wandering up and down.
Robot security guards? Yeah. How does that work if they need to actually get someone?
Well, because they've got cameras and obviously there's someone in the control room. So you've got these robots, and so if they see trouble, then they can obviously send actual people down.
It's priceless. I need to go.
But they've got all these robots, so, you know, it's not talked about a long time ago about wedding robots in Japan.
Yeah, yeah. Wandering around
taking pictures of guests. I think we're going to see more of that when in kind of event photography. Like there could be this robot and just finds a group of people and stops, and the robot says, you know, smile, look here, I'm going to take your photo.
Gosh, I would have loved that. I did a conference a few weeks ago, and yeah, I found that one of my not frustrations, but challenges was photographing enough people.
So on episode 500, we might actually be talking about which is the best robot to buy for your wedding.
Oh, gosh, I almost hope so. We could be
comparing all the different offerings from all these different manufacturers.
And I shouldn't have that attitude because, you know, we all want to be employed as photographers for years to come.
Yeah. Maybe it's a good time now to start getting your skills as a robot, you know, technician.
Oh, I tell you what, if you give me a joystick and try and get me to steer something, I will hit a wall 10 times out of 10. I don't even know what type of wiring you need in your brain for that. Computer games are terrible.
Are you not allowed to fly the drone?
No, I'm not allowed to fly the drone. I've already banned myself because it's that disconnect, and I think it's definitely the way my brain has been wired, and I've learned so much more about my brain wiring in the last 2 years. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
It's evident.
Well, Terry, look, thanks for coming and having a chat. It's really great to catch up again and really good to kind of revisit some old stuff. I think it's always good because things are changing. The world's in flux. So if you're out there and you're kind of trying to, you know, you're breaking into photography and you really got to just try a whole lot of different things and don't try and put all your eggs in one basket. I think you need to try a variety of different stuff, but try the old-fashioned tried and true method of kind of getting out there and knocking on doors. And
I know that I'm going back into that.
Yeah, letting people know that you're there and you can maybe potentially help them.
Yeah, because I am back in Brisbane and no longer on the Sunshine Coast, so I've got to kind of get back to grassroots. So, yeah.
Exactly. So Terry's a gun for hire.
Yeah, I am actually. Yes, please.
All right. Thanks, Terry, as always.
Great chat.
Enjoy your photography, everyone, and we'll talk again real soon.
See you. Bye.
Bye.